Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari, Gopi Jana Ballabha Kirit Bharadhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Kirit Bharadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Ballabha Girit Bharadhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava. पंजाबे हारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम राम हरे हरे जय ओम विश्वभवन सुब्रत राज कचाय स्थित सत्य शिशि मरेसि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विश्वभवन सुब्रत राज कचाय स्थित सत्य शिशि मद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडर चार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसिद्धि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुन राधाकुन गिर गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की नवद्वीप धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की समवेत भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेम नंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sisi Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 9, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, text 12. Taktayastim sutam bhittam vigyaya bhagavatsala yesha kilatang bhadham Damnat tad virya kovida. Chakta yashtim sutam bitam. Vidyaya Bhagavatsala. Yesha Kilatam Bhadhum. Dhamnatad Viryakovida. Chaktayashtim Sutam Bhitam. Vigyaya Bhagavatsala. Yesha Kilatam Bhadhum. Dhamnatad Viryakovida. They're waiting to see if the Maharajas will chant. Vaishnavis, Chakta, throwing away. Yashtim, the stick in her hand. Sutam, her son. Bhitam, considering her son's great fear. Vigyaya, understanding. Arbhakavatsala, the most affectionate mother of Krishna. Iyesha, desired. Kila, indeed. Tam, Krishna. Vadum, to bind. Dhamna, with a rope. Atat Viryakovida, without knowledge of the supremely powerful personality of Godhead. Because of intense love for Krishna. Translation. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. Purport. Mother Yashoda wanted to bind Krishna, not in order to chastise him, but because she thought that the child was so restless that he might leave the house in fear. That would be another disturbance. Therefore, because of full affection, To stop Krishna from leaving the house, she wanted to bind him with rope. Mother Yashoda wanted to impress upon Krishna that since he was afraid merely to see her stick, he should not perform such disturbing activities as breaking the container of yogurt and butter and distributing its contents to the monkeys. Mother Yashoda did not care to understand who Krishna was and how his power spreads everywhere. This is an example of pure love for Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This Damodar Leela begins with a loving dispute about priorities. Krishna is famous throughout Vrindavan, even as at this young age, as the butter thief. So Mother Yashoda is being proactive in the topmost way. How to keep her son from stealing butter. She thought the best way is to make such superior milk products in her house that Krishna would not be motivated to break into others' houses and steal. This is her Vatsalya Prem, her maternal affection in pure love of Krishna. What could be the reason why Krishna would go to others' houses to steal? It could only be that somehow or other her own milk products were not sufficiently all attractive. So therefore, Mother Yashoda enacted her strategy. She has special cows that eat special grasses, and then they give specially flavored milk. So she's going to only take milk from those specially designated cows. But then there's a situation in her home that she has maid servants. Now, how to make the situation so that she herself will prepare the milk products. She tactfully engages the maidservants in other aspects of the home because she wants to focus on preparing the milk products herself for Krishna. Krishna is sleeping in another room of the house as Mother Yashoda is churning. Kavi Kanapur says that while she's churning, she's meditating on the look Krishna has on his face when he steals butter. And she's smiling to herself. So she's churning, and Krishna's resting in the other room. Krishna wakes up, and he decides he's hungry. So he approaches his mother while she's churning. And he grabs the churning rod. And some acharyas say he actually threatens, "I'm hungry. Feed me or I take a stone and break the butter pot." So, of course, Mother Yashoda submits to Krishna's priorities. Everything in her house is made for Krishna's pleasure, 100%. She takes this opportunity to pick Krishna up on her lap and feed him. And that opportunity for feeding Krishna allows her to stare deeply into Krishna's face. Then, as you know, another challenge of prioritization happens. The milk on the stove that Mother Yashoda was boiling, it boils over. So, spontaneously, she puts Krishna down and goes to the stove to tend to the milk. So that her priorities are clear. It's not a question of this is less for Krishna and that is more for Krishna. We always have to go through that analysis in our efforts to serve Krishna. What is the best thing I can do for Krishna? Would this activity be most pleasing, or would that activity be most pleasing? Am I doing this service to please myself? Am I speaking right now to get something for myself? Or could I have been doing something else for Krishna than giving this class? Those considerations are always going through our mind. And that is a sign that we do care for Krishna. Everyone here, as an individual, would love it if someone was always thinking, what's the best thing to do to please you? Should I do this for you, or should I do that for you? Just think how you would feel. Oh, yes, this is the way the world should be. So why is it that we may think Krishna is so insensitive that he doesn't notice or appreciate our deliberations how to serve him? Mother Yashoda, of course, spontaneously does everything perfectly for Krishna's pleasure. But Krishna chooses to see a mistaken priority. He chooses to see that. And this is a great occasion for Krishna to display childhood rage. The Shastras describe, presses his lips and teeth together. You can try that. His eyes become red. He's pressing his lips together so hard they become red. And he even bites his lip. So then he decides to make a demonstration of how he feels by picking up a stone and breaking the butter pot. And the contents spread all over the floor. So Krishna has a very nice time romping, Kavi Kanapur says, he's romping through the liquid butter that's spread out all over the floor. He's two things he's feeling at once, fear and pleasure. You can meditate on how this could be, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's, as a little child, he's feeling fear, and yet at the same time, he's romping. So he finishes making footprints in all the milk in that form it is when you're trying to churn it to butter. After he makes footprints, he goes into the next room and he sees, especially in the room where butter pots are stored, he sees an opportunity for more action. So he smashes a few butter pots and he also reaches in and eats some of the butter. According to some acharyas, just by eating some butter, his anger subsided. He felt satisfied. But even though he felt satisfied, he wanted to perform charity. That means mass prasad distribution. He wanted to distribute the butter to the monkeys and the little children. So he's doing that. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda, she's tended to the boiling milk on the stove, and she comes back, and she's looking, where is Krishna? the mood on her mind is she wants to embrace Krishna and console him. She knows that Krishna might feel neglected, that she put him down. So she's looking for Krishna. Where is he? Where is he? I want to console him, embrace him, make him feel all right. But Krishna's nowhere to be found. She looks at the scene in front of her. She looks at the scene in front of her, the broken butter pot, the milk products spread out all over the floor. And for some moments, she's wondering, who did this? Who did this? It's interesting that, according to the version of Kavi Kanapur, it's not that she instantly says, Krishna did it. No, she has a genuine sense of, what's going on? These are the nectarian twists and turns in Krishna Leela. And Mother Yashoda doesn't immediately suspect Krishna. But then she sees a stone on the floor, and then she looks at the broken butter pot, and she puts 1 + 1 together. Krishna did it. So her emotions then change to a combination of pride and anger. She's proud of Krishna. My boy is so wonderful. My boy is so all attractive. He's the talk of the whole village. At the same time, there's some anger because she's his mother. She has to make sure he grows up properly. So with that anger, sometimes it's described as false anger, just like Krishna's anger is also in this Leela described as false anger, like little children who make a tantrum, even though they're not really angry, they do it to get attention or to get something. So Krishna's anger is sometimes described as false anger, and Mother Yashoda's anger is sometimes described as false anger. False anger on her part, mixed with pride in her boy. So she begins the hunt for Krishna. She sees the room with the broken butter pots. She got there by following the butter-smeared footprints on the floor. And then, after seeing the broken butter pots, she looks out in the courtyard, and there is Krishna on top of something, distributing butter to the little children and the monkeys. And as we sing in the Damodarastic prayers, Krishna is fearful. You'll see the beginning of his fear. Actually, that fear began after he broke the first butter pot that Mother Yashoda was churning. He was fearful and playful. But now he's distributing charity to the monkeys and the little children, and his fear has increased because as he's distributing, he's looking over his shoulder, making sure Mother Yashoda is not trying to sneak up on him. And indeed, she is. She's sneaking up on him with a stick in her hand. So Krishna sees that, and he jumps down and starts to run. And as you know, this running of Krishna is very significant. The point is made very dramatically for us to contemplate. Why is Krishna running? Fear itself is afraid of Krishna. Yet Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. And how can Mother Yashoda think she can catch the Supreme Absolute Truth, which cannot be captured by the greatest mystic yogis and the greatest speculators? So this whole chase scene, the best chase scene in all existence, the whole chase scene is pregnant with philosophical profundity. How can the Supreme Absolute Truth be captured? How can Mother Yashoda chase after him with a stick in her hand? Chasing after the one who cannot be captured by anyone, who moves at a speed quicker than the speed of mind, yet Mother Yashoda is chasing him. So, there are different accounts given by the Acharyas of this chase scene. She's chasing him, and Krishna is running and crying, and she's calling after him, "You greatest of cheaters, stop, 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 you liar, you thief, stop, stop." And Krishna, he's sobbing and shouts back at his mother, I'll stop, just put the stick down, just put the stick down. But the chase goes on. Finally, Krishna, he stops at a safe distance from Mother Yashoda, and he tells her, if you put the stick down, then I'll stop. And Mother Yashoda starts to advance on him, and Krishna takes off again. And she tells him, if you're so afraid of my stick, then why are you stealing butter and making mischief, breaking butter pots? So the chase goes on, and then again Krishna tells her, look, Mother, if you put the stick down, I'll come to you. And that's what happened. Mother Yashoda decided to put the stick down. She doesn't need a course in child psychology. She understands spontaneously that this is my boy. I'm maintaining him, protecting him, training him. If the child becomes paranoid of me, then that will not be good for his future development. So, all right, I'll put the stick down. In Damodarastic, the scene is described that she has Krishna by one hand, and then she has the stick in the other, and she puts the stick down. And Krishna knows just what to do in this situation with his mother scolding him. He who is praised by the greatest rishis and sadhus, he's being scolded by his mother. Before we go any further in this lila, we should appreciate that actually this is a difficult lila. It is sweet, those childhood pastimes. Iti drik swalila bir anandakunde. With his own personal stock of lila, swalila, Krishna drowns the inhabitants of Gokul in the Anandakund, the pool of liquid ecstasy. So, we love to absorb ourselves in that sweetness. Yet at the same time, we should bear in mind that Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, twice says, this is a difficult pastime to understand. And only a real devotee can understand this pastime, because it is difficult. What's the difficulty? The full scope of what's happening. It may take some time to dawn upon us. How Krishna's Atmarama, he's self-satisfied. Yet, he's acting like he's in need. He's aptakama. He automatically fulfills all his desires. Yet, he is dissatisfied and longing for the prema of his devotees. Dissatisfied in longing for their prema. The greatest controllers of the universe, Brahma, Indra, the king of heaven. Shiva, the greatest Vaishnava. They all have powers of control beyond what we can conceive of. Yet, Krishna is more of a controller than them. He is the ultimate controller. But he's coming under the control of Mother Yashoda. She's got his hand now, holding him, and she's put the stick down, but still there's... It's a very intense situation, as Krishna's playing it. You may remember, if your mother ever scolded you when you were a child, it was an intense situation, and Krishna knows how to be the best child for bringing out the maternal flavors. So he's doing everything to enrichen the scene with Vatsalya Prem. Keeping in mind who Krishna is important for us. Then we can advance deeper into the sweetness of Krishna's lila and let that totally envelop us. But we may note in the Damodarastic prayers, first Krishna's Ishwarahood is established. Namam Ishwaram Satchit Anandarupam. First, let's offer obeisances to the Supreme Ishwar, who is appearing as the son of Mother Yashoda, the little child. But before you go further in Damodarastic, you have to understand this is the Supreme Ishwar, with not an ordinary child's body, but a body of a rupa of Satchidananda. That point is established. So as we meditate on this scene of Mother Yashoda has one of Krishna's hands in her hand, and she's put the stick down. What is Krishna doing? He knows just what to do to avoid punishment. He's crying, and he's making his whole body shake as he sobs, so much that his pearl necklaces are shaking. As he's crying, the black mascara around his eyes is running over his face. Krishna is rubbing his two eyes. Kavi Karnapur describes that even though Krishna's palms and hands are so delicate, yet he's rubbing his eyes and his eyes are getting sore because he's crying so much and rubbing so much. He knows if I can really get into this demonstration of sobbing and crying and fear, Mother Yashoda won't chastise me. He speaks such alluring, broken words. And he cries, and he speaks some more broken words, which are all attractive and charming. Finally, after some broken words, he cries again, and the cowherd boyfriends, his confidential cowherd boyfriends like Subala, who are there, they also start crying. So it becomes a whole group performance. So Mother Yashoda thinks about her priorities in pure love of Krishna. The boy has to be trained properly. And she's worried that he's so restless. He might run into the forest. So she decides to bind him. The acharyas describe that at that point, when she makes the decision to bind him, Krishna starts smiling. Let's see what's going to happen. So, you know what transpires when she tries to bind Krishna. The ropes are always too short. The elder gopis who are watching her try to bind Krishna, they're getting pleasure in this attempt by Mother Yashoda, who is working hard to bind Krishna. The elder gopis are thinking. And they actually told her, don't you remember? Just a few hours ago, you put a nice golden belt around Krishna's waist. So how is it now that you're having so many ropes and still the 2 fingers too short? Maybe your boy is special. But Mother Yashoda has her determination. This is my son. I will do what is best for him. So that determination, that fixed determination, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes as bhakta nishta. She's fixed in her devotee determination to do what is necessary for Krishna's welfare. So she just gets all the ropes in her house. And as you know, still too short. And then she tells the older gopis, you please go to your houses, get all the ropes. They followed her order, not out of fear, but because they wanted to see what was going to happen. What's Krishna going to do now? Okay, we'll get all the ropes, and we're going to watch. So they bring all the ropes, and Mother Yashoda is still tying together ropes and trying to bind Krishna. So even she sits down on the ground, she takes a break to try to figure this out. Krishna's just not being bound. Krishna has his own priority. He has his own agenda. He wants to show his opulence. Now, showing opulence to the residents of Vrindavan, like Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, it's quite interesting, because even though they can see displays of Krishna's vibhuti, his opulences, even though they can see how his satya sankalpa, his willpower, and his ability to execute whatever he desires, even though they can see that in action, and even though they can hear about it, it doesn't affect them. This is how intense their vatsalya prema is. Whereas Vasudeva and Devaki, they would become affected by seeing Krishna's opulences. They had awareness, they had jnana of Krishna's supreme nature. But Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, they could even see it right before their eyes, or they could hear graphic accounts, but still. A very powerful example is when the residents of Vrindavan went to Kurukshetra, and there they saw Krishna. So, Vasudeva and Devaki, they actually, at this famous Kurukshetra meeting, they actually explained to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda that along the other Yadus, they also explained, too, that actually, let's tell you something about the real history of Krishna. Let's tell you whose boy he really is. Let's tell you how the whole scene happened. And so they explained everything. But Mother Yashoda still, she heard, but she didn't accept. She heard, but it didn't compute. This is how pure her vatsalya prema is. That the Yadus explained the whole story about Krishna's birth. Well, if you want to be technical, they deleted a few aspects. But they gave a whole overview, and Mother Yashoda was not in it. In fact, the Acharyas point out, upon her hearing from Vasudeva and Devaki and the Yadus, the real story about Krishna, her prema increased even more. He's still my son. This is the glory of Mother Yashoda. So, she's trying to bind Krishna, and the elder gopis are, they're smiling, enjoying this whole event. And Mother Yashoda will not give up. They're telling her. The other women are telling him, I don't know if this is going to work. This boy is special. But Mother Yashoda replies, I don't care if I have to stay here all morning until the evening. I'm binding him. This is her determination. While Krishna is expanding his opulences. So then, seeing her fatigue, Krishna becomes compassionate and merciful. His mercy and compassion overwhelm his opulence manifestation. That's a great lesson for us. Yes, God is great, but greater than God's opulences and power is his personal mercy and compassion for his devotees. He saw Mother Yashoda, her transcendental fatigue, her transcendental perspiration, the flowers falling from her hair. He saw how hard she was working. So Krishna decided to reciprocate with his compassion. His own special determination, swanishta. She has the bhaktanishta, the determination to do what's necessary as Krishna's devotee in Vatsalya Prem. But Krishna has his own nishta. That I will respond to my devotee's determination. That's something for us to remember. Because often in our tiny devotional lives, we think, where is Krishna? Why doesn't Krishna notice what I'm going through now? Why doesn't he acknowledge my determination? The fault is not with Krishna, of course. The fault is with our vision. Part of growing up in bhakti is to learn how to be conscious of Krishna's awareness of what we're doing. That's why the training by the guru, by the Vaishnavas, is so important. That training makes us aware that Krishna is conscious of what we're doing. And as we advance in spiritual life, we become increasingly aware of how Krishna is aware of our service. And that encourages the devotee to serve Krishna even more. So, Krishna's compassion, combined with Mother Yashoda's devotee determination, that's what actually closed the gap. And Krishna was bound. He's showing that I am always conquered by my pure devotee's love. Srila Prabhupada makes the clear point. It's not that Krishna becomes subordinate to his devotee. No, he becomes subordinate to his devotee's love. That teaches us something, again, about the modus operandi of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna's into love. But to understand that kind of love that Krishna's into, we need a solid philosophical understanding so that we can appreciate the full significance of this pastime, which is a difficult pastime, unless we have a solid understanding of Krishna's position. So now Krishna is bound, and Mother Yashoda tells Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, you watch. I'm going into my house. You watch and make sure he doesn't untie the knot. Now, what is Krishna thinking? Krishna starts reviewing the whole situation. Okay, number one, while I was hungry, my mother put me down and didn't finish feeding me. That's number one. Number two, I was performing very nice charity work, giving butter to the monkeys and the children. And then she ran after me with a stick. Number three, she's now bound me. So what is the conclusion? What is the Siddhanta? It's time to do something more mischievous than ever before. So then Krishna starts looking at those two Yamalarjuna trees. And he also has the strong inclination to honor the words of Narada Muni. It's not such a situation that Krishna is so interested in Nalakuva and Manigriva in of themselves. These rich boys, sons of a demigod Kuvera. But because my devotee, Narada Muni, has made this arrangement, I'll follow through because of Narada Muni. So again, we're taught about the mercy of the devotee and how Krishna responds to his devotee's merciful inclinations upon others. In this verse today, we get a very beautiful principle to remember. Mother Yashoda was always overwhelmed by intense love for Krishna, not knowing who Krishna was or how powerful he was. Because of maternal affection for Krishna, she never even cared to know who he was. Therefore, when she saw that her son had become excessively afraid, she threw the stick away and desired to bind him so that he would not commit any further naughty activities. But we heard that Krishna is already planning more naughty activities. First of all, he didn't want to be bound. It's not that he was simply showing off his opulence and majesty. But he was thinking, if I'm bound, how can I play with my friends and steal more butter? So that was his own personal reason for not being bound. Now that he's allowed himself to be bound, he's making plans to do further mischief. But actually, while doing mischief, he's fulfilling the words of his dear devotee, Narada Muni. And as Krishna, dragging the mortar that he's bound to, as he advances towards the two Yamalarjuna trees, all his little cowherd boys are with him. They're advancing along with Krishna. They know there's going to be some fun. So we will stop here and ask any questions, of course, but especially, are there any comments from our so many senior Vaishnavas? My superiors are present here. First comments, let me see if our... We have Maharajas here, we have senior devotees. I can't see everyone, I just... All right. Questions, yes?
Hare Krishna. Krishna displays human-like emotions in so many of his leelas, like lifting of Govardhan and killing of various demons. So I was wondering, how is this this particular pastime any more difficult to understand than those?
Because the controller, even Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, is coming under the control of Mother Yashoda's stick. We have to just meditate on this again and again and again, and then it'll hit us why Prabhupada says several times, this is a difficult pastime. Of course, the more of a real devotee we become, the more easy it is to understand. We've heard in Prabhupada's lectures so often how he describes that more than hearing the praises, official praises of the Vedas, Krishna likes to submit to his devotee, and that's all part of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. It's all part of relishing the spiritual mellows. That tendency is in us also. Prabhupada would give the example of someone going to see some top minister in the British government, and they, you know the story. They waited and waited, and finally they decided to go into the minister's room to see what was going on, and they saw him on all fours with his grandchildren riding on his back. So, in this way, you can, if you understand the microcosm, you get insight into the macrocosm, especially when your vision is guided by the acharyas. You can actually see what's around you and gain understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth. So Prabhupada gave us that avenue. I saw something like this myself. I was at the airport in Melbourne, Australia, and at the gate waiting to board the plane. And it was a crowded flight. It was like 200 persons there. And so I was seated, and I looked over, and there was a man with his family. He was very well-dressed, obviously wealthy, and his wife was attired in a way that showed her husband had money, or she had her own money, as it goes these days. So he had two little kids, like 4 and 5 years old. So the four-year-old kid was standing in front of him and pointing to the floor. "Down, Daddy, down." And immediately the man would fall off the chair onto the floor. And he would get up again and sit down. And she would do the same thing again and again. "Down, Daddy, down." And with great delight, he would just fall off the chair onto the floor. This is in public at the airport with hundreds of persons around. He's a well-dressed man. Obviously some kind of top executive, but he's taking such pleasure. He's oblivious. I saw he's totally unaware of his surroundings. He's just absorbed in that in that rasa that he's tasting on the material platform. So it was such a graphic example of he was enjoying this more than anything. So how it is that Krishna relishes coming under the control of his devotee's love. This is also pointed out in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says that it's the most inconceivable thing that the Supreme Infinite will come under the control of the finite. How that is? That's the bhakti mystery. And no mundane or academic intelligence will allow you to understand this. From the mundane point of view, you would say, "Oh, this is just that Vaishnav folklore." But the bhakti process gives us a way to actually see into this pastime, as well as advance to such an extent that, according to our original constitutional position with Krishna, we can also experience the possibility of having such pure love for Krishna that he agrees to come under its control. Any other questions? Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj. I was just wondering, how do we develop this bhakta nishtha that Mother Yashoda displayed?
Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata guru. By serving with great determination, Guru and Krishna. Krishna takes note of our determination and reciprocates. Devotional service is an opportunity to show that determination. It is a fact that Krishna already has everything. But even though, as we said before, he's optikama, he automatically fulfills all his own desires, still, he apparently is dissatisfied in that he wants to taste more of his devotees' praying. So our devotional service no matter how insignificant it may appear to material vision, is a chance to show our determination to Krishna. If we take our service like that, no matter what it is, we'll see newer and newer service possibilities. But if we take it as, oh, it's the same old chore, why do I have to do this? None of the other devotees have to do this. Why do I have to do it? Or as they say in Australia, for those who live in temples or who are on the temple, maintained by temples, they say, I don't want to be just roster fodder. Fodder means not father, but fodder. F-O-D-D-E-R means food that you feed to cows. It's called fodder. So they say, don't treat me like I'm roster fodder or just food for the roster. As if this is a very demeaning thing. Actually, it's a very high thing to be roster fodder for Krishna. Food for Krishna's roster of devotional service. Of course, devotees have to be inspired. This is a volunteer movement, in case you haven't noticed. And in order to elicit the voluntary spirit of sacrifice, it takes inspiration and care and sensitivity. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. As you know that there are five. Hare Krishna. As you know that there are five types of roshas are there in the spiritual world. So means how does he perform his vatsala rasa in the spiritual world? Because
how what?
Hare Krishna. How does he perform vatsala rasa in the spiritual world?
Oh, because
Krishna, he's already means
because 60. Childhood pastimes are not there. But still, even though the childhood pastimes are not there, they're shown in the as Krishna tours the material world, still the same prema is there. Krishna can see Mother Yashoda on her lap. Her maternal feelings are all, they're there. But the childhood leelas, they're special. Krishna shows them in his touring of the material world. But still, even in Goloka, she's feeling the same way. But that babyhood form of Krishna, that's special to his Bhauma Leela. Perhaps Guru Prasad Maharaj, maybe you can give some. Nah. Maharaj here? All right. Any other questions?
Yashoda's love for Krishna is mostly spiritual. And how would you compare with the ordinary mother in the material world who does everything for her son or the daughter? Is that on the bodily platform or is it considered same mamta, what you have in the material world, and the mamta for Yashoda for the Krishna?
Yes. Srila Prabhupada would give as an example of what in the material world is the closest thing to pure love of Krishna. He would give the mother's love for the child. It's unfortunately, that's becoming an increasingly difficult example to give due to the degradation of Kali Yuga, in which, for example, just take the USA. More children in the USA live in a single parent home than the children who live in a home with their original parents.
I don't agree with that.
So, and this is coming to India also?
No.
Oh, yes.
I'm from USA, and I understand a lot of people live together, but still they have
it. Let me finish, please. You asked a question. I must finish, yes? So, I was staying at a very well-to-do man. Well, I was doing a program at his house in Canberra, Australia. He's from India. He has been in the West maybe 20 years. So he was telling me his daughter, she's 8 years old, and she comes back from school one day, and she says to him, Daddy, when are you and mother going to live in separate houses like everyone else in my class? All my schoolmates, they get to spend one weekend at mommy's home, the next weekend at daddy's home. When are you going to do that? Why are we so different? We're the only ones in the whole class. I'm the only child in the whole class. And mommy and daddy are in the same home. It must be more fun the other way. All my friends are like that. When is it going to happen, daddy? So, this is the situation today, and therefore, it's getting harder to give that example of a mother's pure affection because it's so compromised these days. Even something which is in India is considered so sacred, the mother's love for the child, is now compromised by financial concerns or even desires for a paramour. The mother, in order to pursue a relationship, because she's divorced or broken up with her husband, in order to pursue a relationship with someone else, will often sacrifice the child, care for the child or attention for the child if the new lover is not interested in the child. So it's what to speak of abortion. So it's becoming a difficult example to give, but still it has some mileage to it. A mother will tolerate the child's passing stool and urine. You know all that. No matter how the child treats her, she'll go on taking care of the child. But still, something is wanted in return. The mother wants recognition and appreciation. I know my mother is 83, and she still, at that age, she wants recognition from her children, especially her oldest son. I'm the oldest son. I want to know, where are you now? I just want to know, where are you? Why can't you be home with me? Why are you always in other parts of the world talking to all those strange people? You know, Americans think that everyone outside of the USA is strange, so. So. Yes, it's not pure because of a desire for self-fulfillment in this relationship with the child. But the pure love of God has not even a desire for self-fulfillment in the slightest. Just like Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami reveals about the gopis' love for Krishna. They had not the slightest desire for their own happiness, but the paradox is that Krishna forced happiness on them. They never thought in the slightest that I'm doing this to be happy. I'm serving Krishna to be happy. I'm loving Krishna to feel fulfilled. Not the slightest. It's inconceivable for us, I know. Yet, although they weren't thinking like that in the slightest, Krishna forced happiness on them. This is the standard of pure love on the highest planet of the spiritual world. So, the ideal mother-child relationship gives us some insight, but it's not an analogy is not meant to be a perfect fit. It's meant to illuminate as many points as possible, but there's always some gap that will be there in any analogy. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. Maharaj, I always had a difficulty in understanding the concept of time in the spiritual world. So, because we always say that the pastimes are eternal, or like Lord's childhood pastimes and all other pastimes. So, is there a chronology in that? Is there, do they happen simultaneously, or do they happen in a chronological order? How do you understand the concept of time in the spiritual world?
Would you like to answer this? Why don't we basically accept the statement that time is there, but it has no effect? Can you understand that? Okay, then what's the point in us going further? I'm still trying to understand that. Time is there and it has no effect. There's the sun, there's the moon, but time is not passing in terms of its effects of deterioration. There's no transformation. There's no material transformation dictated by time. Garlands. These garlands are already wilting. But the garlands in Goloka Vrindavan, they become ever fresh. The sunrise and the moonrise are like props for Krishna's pastimes. They don't indicate that someone's aging or there's some kind of deterioration. Everything is just happening to contribute to Krishna's pleasure. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the very wonderful eye-opening lecture. Maharaj, how can I understand that when this pastime is taking place, even Yogamaya is actually, you know, arranging for this pastime to be very wonderful, but as I have heard that now in the spiritual world, everything has consciousness. So now we hear this milk is also boiling, the milk is also thinking that, you know, I also want to be the part of this particular leela, the butter pot's also thinking, and, you know, how can I understand this whole thing, that how everyone is helping to be, to actually make this pastime more relishable in this particular act between Mother Yashoda and Lord Krishna. It's a little bewildering for me. Maybe I'm not putting the question in the right way, but whenever I read it, it's very bewildering for me.
Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Isn't that the simple principle?
Yes.
Everyone and everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure.
Yeah.
So in his leelas, you get to see that. That's what it means, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. There's never any defect in his enjoyment. There's never any lack. That is the inconceivable thing to us. The basic problem is our accepting that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Here's a very wonderful statement from Chaitanya Charitamrita that you can remember, which will assist you in that quest. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that the special attribute of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is that he has, number one, unlimited desires. Now just try to think what it means to have unlimited desires. Think about our desires. Maybe they're 5 or 6 or 2 or 3. But you cannot conceptualize what it's like to have unlimited desires. But that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he has, number one, unlimited desires. But number two, he has the unlimited ability to fulfill unlimited desires. That ability is called Swaraja Lakshmi. He independently, unlimitedly fulfills unlimited desires. So you meditate on that, and that will give you entrance into what you asked.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,